Right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Red or Dead podcast. I'm here joined once again with Andre Dixon.
Hey,
and Cass, how are you doing, Cass?
I'm good, man, I'm good.
Yeah, and the lovely Maria, how are you doing today, Maria?
I'm good, all good. Cool stuff.
And obviously, my name is Elan Kutsi, I'm your host today. And as becoming the custom, we're going to start off the podcast with a little bit of small talk just to ease ourselves in before we get to the nitty-gritty of the hardcore football chat. So I think the good news we heard today is that lockdown looks set to end in just over a week's time. So yeah, looking forward to that. So guys, what do you reckon? What tier do you reckon London's going to be in? Are you actually going to be allowed out, or are you going to be pretty much locked down without lockdown?
It makes no difference. We're going to be in a virtual lockdown when this lockdown ends. So it makes no difference whatsoever. It's not good news yet.
I need to understand the actual rules. Are they effectively, just to dumb it down for me and everyone else that doesn't understand, so I'm not alone. but are you saying effectively that they're going to take us off lockdown so everyone can have Christmas together? Everyone spread this thing even more and then go back into lockdown in January. Is that what we're saying?
That's what is going to happen, yeah.
Kind of. Let me explain a little bit about what I've heard from guys who they run care homes and things like that. They've been given a bit of a schedule for the vaccine in terms of who's going to get vaccinated and when. So it looks like from beginning of December, they're going to start vaccinating healthcare workers, care home residents and care home staff. From mid-December, people aged 80 or over. From late December, 70 to 80. Early January, 65, 70, as well as people who are high risk in the 65s. Mid-January, 50, 65. Late January, everyone else, pretty much. But they reckon that's going to end up dragging on till March. So from what I understand, it's breaking down into the three-tier system once again. Similar to before, but a little bit more stringent in that, you know, if you're in tier one, or sorry, tier two or tier three, which are the higher alert ones, which I reckon I'm going to be in, and definitely you guys in London are going to be in. But basically what they're saying is that pubs have to close unless they are serving food, so they can act as a restaurant, and you can only order alcohol with food. You can't just go in and buy a drink. That's for tier two and for tier three. And also they're open till 11 now, but they have to stop serving by 10. So that's
why can't you just buy a drink? Why? What's the reason?
Because they don't want people going out and getting smashed. But what's going to happen is people are, and also the upside of this for bars who serve food or restaurants is that people are going to have to order food now. So you know, if they want to go in and grab a pint, they're going to have to order like a burger or something, or they're not going to get the pint. So you know, I suppose maybe it's a way of boosting up the economy.
I mean, you're better off going to a restaurant that serves drinks, to be honest with you. It just makes more sense to do that, settle in for the night and then get a meal and a drink in. But I think the real good news is that they're going to allow fans back into stadiums.
Yeah.
Tremendous news. Tell us a bit more about that, Cass.
Not our fans.
Well, yeah, this is the problem. So depending on which tier you're in, so you can't be in any of the high risk. I think the twos and the threes are not going to be eligible for this, but if you are in a low tier area, you can have up to 4,000 fans at an outdoor sporting venue. So we can have 4,000 fans at Anfield, for example, once we come out of that tier system. So, yeah.
To be fair, though, in fairness, guys, it might not all be as bad as it sounds, because we actually launched that citywide testing program. So that might have put us in a good place. Who knows, you know? I mean, if that many people have been tested, they're going to know where they're at. So it's easy to control.
I think it's incentive to everyone, you know, definitely from the city of Liverpool, especially to be able to get tested. And there's light in the end of the tunnel so people can have some type of normality back. You know, if we all work together to be able to reduce this thing down to the lower tiers, then obviously that means that people can go to watch football. If they can go and watch football, then they lower it even more. Then we can all get back to packing the stands out and then, you know, cheering our team on
Dre. Well said, Dre.
From home.
Oh, yeah, no, to be fair, I mean, okay, this is an interesting debate. And it's going to annoy some of the so-called top reds. But if you had a choice, and I mean always, would you prefer to watch a game at home or in the ground? Big game.
In the ground.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a debate, is it? Who's going to stay at home?
It is. I'll be honest. It is for me. No,
I need to watch it at home. I you know, I'd take a sacrifice on behalf of everyone. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Does this include any form of corporate hosting?
No, forget the corporate thing. It's not about that.
No. This is in the stanchions, man. This is with the proper cop in the midst of the cop, right in the middle.
Well, after queue for a pie.
Yeah, and the toilet, and you can't sit down.
Queue for a pie and a piss.
You can't sit down for the whole game. That's the way it goes. You know, and I'm just saying that sometimes there's some games that I'd actually would rather prefer to watch on TV because I can see it all.
Yeah, but the sacrifice is you said all games. So would you sacrifice a game against Man United, for example, just to sit at home?
No, I've been to a Man United game. That's not fun. We won, and then but
I've been to a few of those. Yeah.
That's not fun. You know what? I love all of our soldier fans who go there, you know, and watch every game. All I know is that Liverpool, after a certain time, after about 5-6 o'clock, then that Irish Sea kicks in, and then it gets brick cold in that stadium. too late for me. I need corporate hosting.
It is also, you can't get back from Liverpool unless you're driving on a Champions League night because the games are too late.
10 hours. It's 10 hours.
Yeah, you have to get the connection. Yeah, so, no. Exactly. So, yeah. So,
but it doesn't mean, I think the question is, does it make you less of a fan because you don't go to the games?
That is the question.
Hang on. No, it doesn't. But it does make you less of a fan if you have an option of going there and you don't.
For example, right, if you're a season ticket holder, then I'd expect you to go to every game because there's a reason you're a season ticket holder. However, I mean, otherwise, if I get the odd game to go to Liverpool, I'm going. There's no two ways about it. I'm not turning that ticket down to go. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, there's some games that actually I would actually rather watch on TV so I can really watch it. Because I get so into the little details, the playbacks, the you know, like almost like an analyst more so than a fan in some ways when I'm watching that. I want to see everything. I want to see the replays.
You're not an analyst, mate.
I'm definitely an analyst.
I've heard your opinions. You're not an analyst, mate.
Maria, tell me, what's your viewpoint on this? What's your viewpoint on this before the red light takes over?
I think if you've got the opportunity to go, then yeah, of course. I couldn't. Why would you not go? Because it's not just, it's the atmosphere. All of that is so exciting at a football match. But at home, it's different, isn't it? I mean, yesterday I was having my popcorn, doing all this, that, and the other. It's different. But I know what you mean. Now, I'm a little bit blind, but I need to wear glasses if I go to the match. And it's like the worst thing ever, having to wear glasses surrounded by all these people. And I'm like squinting. I can't even see the ball. So unless I've got a really deep look, I'm not even lying.
But Maria, do you agree with this? You know, just guys, can you indulge me for a minute, just for a second? Right now, when you get to a certain age, then what happens is that you start making up pre-excuses why you can't go to places because you prefer to be at home. Those are the ages that we all are swimming around and such. Now, the thing is that. If you're already pre-make excuses why I can't go to something now, but if I do have to go to something, then I do like to leave early because I like to be in my bed at a certain time. Now, if I go to a Liverpool game all the way up there, now don't get me wrong, I if it's an early game, decent like 3 o'clock kickoff, then I'll go have fun, enjoy against a decent team that's not going to kill me. Their fans are going to bloody run after me down the street. But I just think that there's fans that are hardcore, go to every game. There's fans that go to the game that's closer to them, and then there's fans that you need to be able to watch TV. You know, you need that because otherwise I'm not going to be spending all that money and we won't be able to get some of the amazing players we've got. So I'm doing my part in staying at home all year long.
Thank you. I think you made a very good point about, you know, does it make you less of a fan or not? And I think the key thing is I whoever invests financially in the club is a stakeholder. Whether you invest in weekly or you know, going to tickets in the games, or you invest in the kit, or you invest in LFC TV Go or in any other way, or even just spreading the goodwill of the club, I think you are a stakeholder, so to speak. And I don't think you should be considered more or less of a fan. I see sometimes these debates on Twitter where the poor international fans who have got no chance of obviously coming to the ground get a bit of stick for never being to Anfield. It's like, well, come on, you know, they haven't really got a choice here. It's because of fans like that that we actually are able, like Dre said, to afford the players that we can get. So anyway, moving on to the first You're welcome. Thank you. Dre's money. Right, Cass, you can get us started. Let's talk about the lineup versus.
Are you sure you want me to start?
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, come on. Right, yeah, go for it, Cass. Go on, Cass.
Go on, then. Let's do it. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Leicester, the lineup. You know, what were your initial thoughts when you heard the lineup?
So bearing in mind, we had a whole host of injuries. We pretty much predicted the lineup quite accurately, apart from one. I did say I thought he would play Jones, and you both said, no, there's no chance he's going to play Curtis Jones. And he ended up playing Curtis Jones. So the lineup was Milner, Matip, Fabinho, Robertson, probably our strongest available back four. And then midfield, we had Keita, Wijnaldum, and Curtis Jones. And then the front three was obviously, I think, with Salah having a COVID positive test in Egypt, it was Firmino, Jota, and Mane. And yeah, it was, I said that midfield was probably too weak. I think it was, it was one of the best performances we put in all season. It was a great performance. And it was, I've got a theory about how that worked.
Cass, just say it, man.
There we go. Here we go.
No.
Here it comes. With the sweet, here comes a bitter.
Exactly. Well, no, all right. I'll say I didn't think any of the middle three were that good. I thought they played okay. I thought they did a competent job, but it just proved how good our wing play is, especially with Robertson constantly and Trent before and now Milner, who, to be honest, put in a better performance than Trent has put in all season. Them attacking means we don't need that complete control in the middle that we've always thought we need. I thought they were fine in the middle. No one excelled. No one was particularly bad. But the play from Robertson and Milner in particular was out of this world. And they covered up what we had in the middle. And it's not even that they covered up because it was a bad strategy or anything. That was the plan. That's always been our plan, is to get the ball out wide, get those wing-backs attacking from all angles and scaring the opposition. And it worked perfectly.
Would you agree with that, Maria?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do actually. I thought it was when I first saw the lineup. I mean, there wasn't much else you can expect, to be honest. It was what was available, and I thought the right people were put in the right place. I had a chuckle when I saw Keita, of course. I'm sure we'll jump to him. Dre's already shaking his head, but I thought they all did well, and like Cass, I think the wingers kind of held the middle three together. They were needed there. But they I thought it was a great lineup. It was a surprising lineup in terms of what you would normally see. And actually it was quite refreshing to see them all come together and play really, really well. I thought they were spectacular yesterday. But we move on to that.
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, in our defence, in my defence, I think Dre's as well, we didn't think Thiago and Henderson would not be available. We thought at least one of them, hence why we thought Curtis Jones didn't start.
Yeah, I thought
start.
Thiago would have been playing, actually, yesterday.
Kind of hoping for at least one of the two, but we got neither. But I thought Curtis Jones acquitted himself rather well. Dre, what was your thoughts on the first... Okay, Dre, what was your thoughts on the, on the first half? Dre, what was your thoughts on the first half of the game? Against Leicester,
you know what? I think there's it just reminded me back in the days when we used to watch Man United, when you used to run things, and there was a genuine fear when you went to their ground of like, oh god, I hope we pick up something, and I hope they're attacking, you know, three or four, you know, have a off game, or just please god don't just batter us. And I think that there's that fear that I'm very glad that we have, fear factor that we've got back. Because I think towards the end of last season, you know, obviously people misfiring, form went out the window. Started this season, then it was like, you know. But I feel that there's a game that we get where everything kind of clicks and we start believing in ourselves, or people start getting back into form. And I feel that last season, funny enough, it's last season, it was the Leicester game again that was a statement that we had, where it was just like, right, you know, we are going to win this and we're going to show you guys who we are. And I feel that we dominated the midfield. We made them afraid to, well, we didn't give them any time to be able to make that pass, killer pass to Vardy, because obviously you can't stop Vardy, because he's like, you know, the guy's, you know, severely underrated. You know, I really think he's a threat to any team, any defence with his pace.
Should still be playing for England, to be honest, shouldn't he? I mean, he'd be probably England's best striker here or there, thereabouts.
No one cares about England.
I just
feel that we stopped the supply to him. So I think differently to Cass, I do feel that everyone in, like, especially in the first half, played their part, where we went into there, all of us with a bit of nerves, because obviously we just keep on losing players left, right and centre. But then towards the end of the second half, we're like, well, midway through it, after Jota scored his goal, it's just like, wow, we're actually back. You know, so, you know, I love the way that we controlled the midfield. You know, Robertson had his best game in ages. That was just he was just like completely, they could not handle him in any form of way. I'm very, very, it was a very strong statement performance. So therefore, I feel like, you know, it made me reaffirm my confidence that we're going to win the league, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I disagree with Cass in the sense that I thought that the midfield did control the game. In that, and that was not just because it seemed like it was a tactic that Bobby was dropping even further back than normal. He was even picking the ball off the centre backs at times, and
that's what I mean. We controlled the midfield, but I don't think it was the midfielders that were controlling the midfield, if you know what I mean. I'm saying, like, Bobby dropped back, Robertson and Milner went up, so we made it a packed midfield and we were able to control that area. But I don't think the individuals in there had a particularly outstanding game. Like, I think Ronaldo had a poor start and he came into it. I think Curtis got a bit sloppy in the second half and he gave the ball away a few times. And we'll talk about the other guy in a bit. But
but in fairness, Cass, be honest about this, right? I'm just going to ask you, be honest, all right? Be really honest. When Keita went off, that was the time that Leicester came back. That's when Leicester came back into the game. Possession-wise, guys, come on. You've got to call it as you see it. Guys,
even if that was true, and I don't think it is, that's got more to do with the fact that Nico Williams came on than Naby Keita was on or off the pitch. And we've all got our thoughts on Nico Williams. But Naby Keita did not have an outstanding game. He had an okay game, but anyone could have done that job. Is nothing special about him whatsoever.
Before you jump in, Dre, you're now
officially part of the anti-Keita Clash. So I don't want to hear it from you. Because we're never ever going to agree on the quality thing, right? The bottom line is, I don't think he's ever been good enough and he will ever be good enough. Some of you think he is. All right, that's a separate discussion. But the reason we can't rely on him and have him in our team is because the guy cannot stay fit. And I said, I guaranteed you at the start of this whole conversation, even when we started this podcast, that guy will not be able to stay fit between now and Christmas. And he's already out in the middle of November. And that is it. That's it, as far as I'm concerned. And I know, Dre, I'm going to hand it over to you. You can say it now. You know he is not reliable enough to be in our team.
Yeah, I did say on record, I gave him one last chance to be able to perform for a longer period of time. If he gets through the Christmas period, you know, unscathed, and then he has an injury after that, it is what it is, because you've been through war, effectively. But the problem is that you've been off for a long time. You've had two games for your national team, and then you come back, and then he was performing quite well. I mean, I remember when there was a... He wasn't dominating.
Cass, be fair.
I remember he was doing well. He was definitely doing well supporting the front three. Definitely. Because I remember there one time there being a run after a move broke down where he ran onto it and then kept the move going. He did some really long leaps. And I think it was the way that he was running. I'd have to find their footage and show you guys. But, you know, I think what I'm tired of, why I'm kind of done with the whole situation, is because he keeps on getting injured all the time. And you know, the availability of, especially when it comes down to our bare bones now, you see what we got on the bench. Like, there was some, like, we was like, who?
Clarkson.
Who's this? Did he win a prize? Like, you know, you cannot keep on going on like this. Yeah. So I think that Klopp will look for a suitable replacement and a place for him to be able to go you know, in a maybe a less of a demanding league.
Yeah, he's still got some value now, so it's worth selling him now. I'd sell him in January.
For Haaland, some cash.
Yeah, 100%. We'll talk about that guy. He 100% needs to come in. But yeah, he's probably got some value in Germany when they remember the good old days. And like, you know, he did something once in 2018 or something. And that's it. But we're, he's not worth us keeping around. He's a liability. Out, done, finished. We move on.
Maria, where do you stand on this?
Well,
dare I ask?
I really, really wanted him to do well yesterday, like to stay on for the whole 90 minutes. And I have to say, when he was on the floor, I was just like, come on, what are you doing? Get up. And I just wanted him to get up, just play with whatever hurts, just play, because yeah, even if it means the next game. And he didn't get up, and then I was a bit in despair, actually. And I do know, he was really good in Germany. He was. I did a bit of research, especially for Ellie on this one.
Hey, thank you.
He was a great player. And I just think Liverpool just hasn't worked for him. And it's just not the place for him.
So far.
No, I don't know.
How many more years do you give him?
It's been
3 years. How long is this?
Look, right. Look, guys, you forget how dire Hendo was for years.
How dare you?
This guy is not going to turn into Henderson. This guy is not turning into Henderson.
You guys have got the shortest term memories ever.
We all know.
Hendo used to be Mr. Injury Prone Galore. We used to say, Hendo, he's injured again. Hendo's injured pretty much. Hendo's injured at the start of the season. Hendo's injured again.
Hendo has put in at least some performances.
Yeah, but he's been here for like seven years.
No. Even in the early days, you saw some shoots of optimism. I have never, ever seen Keita put in a good performance.
Yeah, because you're not looking for it. You're not looking for it, though.
I am looking for it. I'm looking for it more than anyone. No, he's not putting any performances that are worth remembering.
I honestly think, for his sake, he probably needs to go and
go
somewhere else, because I just don't think Liverpool's the place for him.
But for the sake of Liverpool as well, we can't have a first teamer who is that injury prone, who has taken up that much money, that much wages. Get someone in who is more reliable and get him out. It's for his sake and for Liverpool's sake.
In fairness, though, like when he went to his national team, he played back to back 95 minutes.
Why did he do that?
The coach made him, though. It's a national thing, you know, in Africa, man. You know, he's in Guinea. He's captain of his club. They were actual AFCON qualifiers. It wasn't friendly.
I don't care.
Right? And his coach plays him back to back 95 minutes after he's not played a full 90 in over 5 weeks. Bro, come on, man.
He's out. He's gone.
Played a 90 minutes in over 5 weeks before that. Played two back to back in the space of 2 weeks. 95 minutes in a hot climate. Then comes to the freezing cold. Probably one training session.
Okay, that's fine then. So we can't play him in winter. Fine, all right.
It's just a change.
See you in March, April when the weather turns. Mate, when you've got the COVID vaccine, and then you can come back to the team. You don't like cold weather.
You don't like long haul traveling. And this guy has to travel and play and perform at Liverpool.
I'm not playing for Liverpool. I didn't sign for 50 million. It's fine.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it
when I do travel long haul, I'll still turn up and perform.
Oh,
right, all right, you know what? I'm gonna go for it again. Since he's joined us, you know, his injury.
Okay, but look at Hendo. Don't do this. Look at Hendo, though, bro.
I'm gonna go through both of them too. I mean, there's no comparison, but yeah. You know, because Hendo is a far different class in any formal way than Keita. But if you look at it, you know, when he joined us, so his first injury that I can see with us. With muscular problems, 20 days. Then he had a knock, 18 days. Then he, I'll go with the games missed, actually. I'll be fair. I'll go with the games missed. So he missed four games. Then he missed two games. So he missed more four games in November, 18. Then March, 19, two games. June 21st, he missed five games. Then September, he missed seven games. Then... oh God! It goes on and on. There's two pages worth of injuries here. Now, if you go into Henderson, that's different. Like the guy actually.
Go into Henderson.
Oh, I didn't expect you to actually make me do it.
No. This is.
All right, we'll go through. We're going to go through. Bear with me a minute. We'll go through Henderson's. We will go through it. All right, cool. Loading.
He's got a slow pace. The thing with Henderson was that. The thing with Henderson, though. Hang on. The thing with Henderson was at the start, he wasn't playing because he wasn't good enough and he wasn't getting in the team. It wasn't a question of how injured or not he was. He just wasn't good enough at the start.
He's always played.
No, yeah.
I'm not saying he's played well.
No, Hodgson liked him. Hodgson rated him.
No, but he got dropped quite a lot. He got dropped by a lot.
Sorry, guys.
There was talk of him being transferred out to Fulham and going on a free and all that stuff.
Like you guys and are talking about Keita, exactly.
No, but Keita's just not good enough. He's not good enough.
That's not true, though. You know that's not true.
I'm not the only one that thinks that. For starters, I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Doesn't mean you're right, mate. Doesn't mean you're right.
The vast majority of people are saying that. But the injury stuff is enough to get him out. And also, we were talking about Henderson when we were barely challenging to get into the top four. We were now talking about a Champions League winning team, a Premiership winning team, top of the table. Can you afford to carry someone who is that injury prone? Answer, no. We could afford to do it when we weren't doing all of those things. Now we cannot afford to.
I'm going to prove case in point. There's two pages full of Keita injuries, and there's one page, not even half a page full of.
No. Look at how many days.
So Henderson, when he first joined in 2015, he had five games out because of a bone injury. Then a metatarsal fracture, 15 games. This is in 2016. Minor knock. Three games, 11 games in a knee ligament. He did foot injury, 13 games. Then in 17, so he was.
So that was 1 year. Okay, cool. That was 1 year.
That's one season. That's fine.
That's one season.
But then,
yeah, cool.
if we move, I'm not even skipping, literally, we're going to 17, 18, one game, thigh problem, six games, muscle injury, four games, unknown injury. Four games, hamstring injury, and then 19, it was four games missed for a knee injury.
Yeah, so okay, that was it. That's almost 20 games at least.
But if you look how influential the difference is, this is
actually pointless because the bottom line is Henderson and Keita are both fit. Who do you pick?
Yeah, but that's not the point.
You can't
say
pick?
That.
Who do you pick?
Henderson's nearly 30. Keita's like 24.
Yeah, exactly. So Keita should not be getting injured, but they're both fit. Who do you pick?
Yeah, because Hendo's in his peak. Keita needs to get to his peak.
He's not good enough.
No, I disagree with Cass. I wouldn't say he's not good enough. I'm being completely honest. And
what
I probably
games
speak
has he played where you would say he's been good enough?
I've seen a few games where he's actually
he scored against Chelsea. That's not enough.
When he first started, when he came to us first of all, then he had a run of games. He was very, very good. I remember he left Andreas Thompson for dust. He sent him out for pizza.
Palace. Yeah.
I remember that. This guy was very, very good. But the problem is that
He was never very good.
I'm being honest. I don't think that any Liverpool fan, really, honestly, without some form of agenda like Cass, can actually say whether he's good enough or not because you just haven't seen him.
Hang on. You say that about Minamino.
I see it and he's not good enough.
No.
Oh,
he's
no.
I've seen
played,
him.
He's not even played a tenth of the game. I'm being honest.
I have seen Minamino, and I'm sure he's a lovely guy, and I think a different club he'd do very well.
I think
with Minamino, if you are, and I've here's my caveat: if you're playing in the midfield, I'm all for it because he proved himself in that one half against Arsenal, and pre-season, which is not really much.
And at his previous club, all over and over again.
Right, but if you're playing him in our formation,
it's all right
up
for
front.
Him previous club, but when it's Keita previous club.
Yeah, but Keita has played for Liverpool enough games for you to make an assessment. Okay. Minamino has not.
Minamino for me is a nah.
Yeah, but he's definitely played not enough games for
Maria, please add some sanity to this. What do you think about Minamino, please?
Don't think we've seen enough of him.
No. Exactly.
Okay. I really don't. Exactly. I don't. He's not been played, really, has he?
I don't know who he is. You've seen him on the sideline. And they're oranges.
That's not fair. He did 5 minutes yesterday.
You should have brought him on. There's no point in bringing him on for that. That's insulting.
That's what he's there for. He's there for relief.
That's what Origi's for.
No, he's there for relief. He's just like, he's, you know, like in Oscars, Atlanta. You have someone who just sits in when someone goes to the toilet. That's him.
They haven't given him a chance yet. They haven't given Minamino.
I agree.
He just runs around. You tell me what you've seen, even against that. Who did we play? Lincoln. Even against Lincoln, what did you see him do?
That banger, top corner. That banger, he scored a banger, top corner.
Didn't he?
That's a bad example to pick. That was a bad example to pick.
I think he's not been given a chance by the other players. He's not.
I agree with you, Maria. Thank you. I'm glad you know. I'm glad you know, sir.
Players know who's not good enough.
I can't agree with that one. I don't think no one gave Jota a chance. He earned that chance. He took it. He grabbed it.
Yeah, but there's levels to this game. There's levels to Jota.
How is it okay for
Dre? Yeah.
How is it okay for Jota to come in, fresh face, don't know no one, and just live banging the goals?
Yeah, but.
And he starts from the ground running. You lot give Thiago, which I don't, a pass for going AWOL missing, because I ain't seen this dude.
No, I don't give him a pass either. I don't give him a pass.
Because I personally am tired of that. Like, I don't know. Can you play? Can you play?
I give him a pass because it wasn't his fault. I give everyone a pass.
I don't think people even realise he's left his old team. We got some of those match attack cards today, and he's still at Bayern. And that's for Champions League. So what's going on? He hasn't left. He's still there.
Exactly.
He gives too many chances. He still thinks.
Private jet. You know that video he made.
And he's I'm not
giving him a nah yet, but.
Well, where is
okay?
He?
Let's get on to the. Okay, let's talk through the goals. Maria, do you want to talk us through the goals in the Leicester game?
The first one was interesting because obviously it was an own goal by, who was it, Evans?
Johnny Evans. Fantastic.
X-Man United.
Well, yeah. We can agree on that one.
Headed backwards. It was brilliant. That was a good one.
Top finish.
Nice one. What was the second one?
Jota.
That was,
yes.
That
the was goal.
Really what a good. Goal.
That was incredible.
So and there was 30 passes in the build-up to that.
What was that?
Wonderful.
30 passes in the build-up for that goal.
I feel there was, I feel like that really, we already know Jota is amazing, but that just solidified it. That put him firmly on the map.
It was the way that he fit into the team, I thought, with that goal, especially the movement and the way that they read his movement and everyone kind of worked together. It just showed how well he settled in.
And I think that might have given Firmino a bit of a shake, that one, because he was trying. Although, what was all that about? I'm going to get onto him because I'm not happy with him.
Wow. In fact, you can start now. You can start now if you like.
He was all over the... It was like, do you know, if I was playing, obviously I'd never be allowed to play for Liverpool, but say they drew me in because there's no one else and they're like, oh, Maria will do it, right?
That's not Minamino.
okay, come on, man.
No, because I don't think Minamino would have done this, maybe. And the ball came to me and I was in front of the goal and the goalkeeper standing there. And what I would do would be like, oh my God, I've got the ball, I don't know what to do. And that is what Firmino did several times. It was a bit of a, and it even looked frantic. It was like putting a, like the kid for the first time, the ball's come and I'm in the goal and I don't know what to do. And oh my God, I'm gonna kick it.
You guys are going to say he scored a goal, so it's all fine. For me, that was just like...
It's not all fine at all.
As they say...
that third goal. He had to. And actually, if Bobby had scored, right, all of those goals, it would have been 7-0 yesterday. And the other goal that was all, you know, all that nonsense where it was 10 millimetres out, that rubbish... It would have been 7-0.
That rule is absolutely ridiculous.
Don't come with your rules, Cass.
Like, some rules don't make no sense.
That one
makes no sense whatsoever. The only thing that was past the line was the lever on the
ball. But that's fine. That is a clinical...
But at least it's clear. No, I agree with Cass on this. At least it's clear.
That's not clear.
I had Suki crying about it as well. And he was basically saying, oh, just allow it. I was like, no, that's just one of those that is either yes or no.
If that happened to us, I would be like, fine. I'd be like, you know what? It's in.
No, you wouldn't. Mean? And it doesn't matter. It's just a very clear cut. It doesn't. Yeah. There's no conversation about it.
It's not controversial. It's just
it's sorted.
They showed it, and it was like the line, the ball over the line, very clearly, and it just said no goal. And I was like,
if it was in their goal and exactly the same thing happened, it would be the same result. It's always going to be the same result.
Exactly, it's consistent. No, but at least it's consistent. No, but at least it's consistent. So that I can handle consistency.
No, I can't handle that, because at the end of the day, these rules that they put in place is for them to be able to get attention. We don't pay to see you lot. You know, just raise your flag or blow your whistle and keep the game going. We don't pay to see officials. No, but we don't want to see them going over there.
No one's made this rule. No one's changed this rule.
I was growing up, it used to be, and I think I'm very sure the majority of the actual players playing currently in any league, professional league now, they've grown up with the rule of, if the majority of the ball is over the line, it's a goal. That's it. People are not going to... How are you going to relate that to the park football for kids? Like, they don't have no what's the stupid technology called?
Goal line technology.
Eagle eye or whatever it's bloody called. Yeah. They don't have that. Cameras looking down and deciding whether it's, you know, the lever has actually passed. It's ridiculous. It's the same thing with Mané in his shirt sleeve with the Everton game. It's absolutely ridiculous. All these stupid, politically little rules are ruining the game.
On a cheery note,
didn't score the other his goal that he had to score. And...
Yeah, but you know, even a broken watch is right twice a day.
Cass, Maria, Ellie, can I make my point? Just one point. Just this is
go for it. Are you still going on? What are you going on about now?
No. Let us speak, please. This is not conspiracy corner yet. This is how for shame on all of you have forgotten all the work that Firmino has done.
Me? Can't come for me.
You said no free.
He said no free. But also,
I think Firmino's been a bit off for a while.
Yeah, he hasn't
been his best form. We can agree with that. But all I'm saying is that was
his second goal in two seasons.
23.
Yeah, but we don't care about that because the others score for him.
Exactly. We're winning as a team.
He doesn't add anything else.
He does.
You're telling me at his best.
He's really inconsistent. He's not clinical. And he's scrappy. Yesterday, he was scrappy. It was
you lot horrible. You know what? You lot have seen your new shiny toy, Jota, and you just want him to play, and you forget about all the industrious.
I wanted Firmino drop before Jota turned up. I was already saying I would have put Shaqiri in there. I would have put Minamino.
Let's talk about Shaqiri's injuries.
The injuries for Shaqiri are an excuse. They're an excuse.
Oh, okay.
No, Klopp never plays him. Even when he's on the bench and fit, he doesn't play him. It's irrelevant.
Man, look. You know what? I don't even know what to say. Well, anyway, guys, positive note.
No, you can say I'm right.
We won 3-0. With a team that we were depleted, let's at the end of the day, you know, we still had guys like Ox, Hendo, Thiago, Trent, Shaq, Virgil, Gomez, yada yada. Keep going. We had all these players injured, and we beat a title contender 3-0.
No title contenders.
Okay.
We said even when they were top of the table, we knew they were not title contenders. I agree.
They're top of the league, and they've got to be.
It's a very good result.
I'm saying, but we still beat them comfortably. It wasn't the fact we won. It was the fact we won comfortably, bro. It was really comfortable. I just
to agree with you, we completely blocked them out of the game. So a comfortable victory, 100%. They're not title contenders, but they're a very good team. And beating them gives us a lot of confidence. And I can say no more positive things apart from that.
Yeah, and given the fact that we've discussed so many things that we thought went right about the game for about half an hour, we won 3-0 comfortably against a team that, okay, they might not be title challengers throughout the season, but they were currently at the top of the table. So they are a form team, it was fair to say, even if they aren't title contenders. They were a form team.
They bamboozled Leicester. Yes, I don't think Leicester were expecting that.
No.
You know, everyone was going on, everyone's out. Someone even sent me a meme and it was like just Alisson, Mane and someone else. And they were like, that's all you got.
other teams are doing that. Yeah, you know. And you know what? Like I said to the guys yesterday, Maria. I said, you know what? I feel bad for, and then it was like who? And I said for the rest of the league. Let it be known that you lot aren't good enough. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna talk that talk.
I agree with you. As long as we don't play Kater, I agree with you 100%.
Well, he's not anyway.
Well, you ain't gonna worry about it. You're never playing anyway. You lot gotta understand this, you other teams, especially Arsenal fans. You know, you guys gotta know that where you are and where we are. We are better than you in all right. We've been hearing, ah, that's the end of it. Without Virgil, you're not gonna have it. Oh, without Hendo, you're not gonna have it. Oh, without Gomez, you're not gonna have it. Oh, without Fabinho. Well, the show's continuing and I'm not seeing anything. You guys gotta step it up.
You've got to drop the Arsenal hype because they're not anything to do with us. They're in a completely different race.
They're where they should be.
I want you to aim that at Spurs and Chelsea and recalibrate to those guys.
If we beat Tottenham, and if we come out of this Christmas period unscathed, and exactly where we are, first or second, for shame on the rest of you lot, and all the Chelsea fans getting excited, for shame on you lot, because I promise you this is that this will be this. I don't care what the pundits say. This with the amount of injuries that we've had, this will be the best. Premiership ever won.
Best defense, I think.
Defense. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Just before we move on from this game, I do want to highlight one before. We mentioned it, but I don't think we gave it enough credit. Milner was out of this world yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He played. We are going to do the apologies. Dre, you can apologize for starters because you stagged him off. Yeah, 100%. You stagged off Milner more than anyone.
Me too.
Yeah, I know you as well. Yeah, we want you. You're still
I've got two apologies to make. One apology for Firmino because I was swayed by Cass had got into my ear the bad wizard in Lord of the Rings.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
You think one dodgy finish now makes him the finished article?
I'm saying that he's back.
One goal.
I don't care about the goals. I care about the performances. I care about the passing.
Performance.
I care about
the performance. He missed so many chances.
No, he was good. He was good.
Yeah, I think he kept on going. He kept on trying. He kept on going. Right. And the second apology I've got to make.
Go on.
No, you know what? I'm not really sorry about it. I'll put it to you guys. What I'm concerned about is this: is that I want Curtis Jones because you clearly have the talent.
Wait, I'm talking about Milner. You owe Milner an apology.
I don't owe Milner an apology because he does what.
Yes, you do.
I'll give him an apology. I thought you was washed. I thought you was done.
You said it bad times as
I said the same.
You're a liar.
You're putting lies
in this podcast.
No, I didn't. In fact, when he played in Champions League, when he started that first game, I said this is the right call. And you were the ones going, no. He's finished. But he's washed up.
He was dead in that game. He was dead in that game.
He came into it. He came into it. You guys need to listen to the old episodes of podcast.
No, look.
Maria, please, can you listen to that podcast? Did we all wash Milner?
No.
Or was Cass the only one who didn't? Who wasn't?
Yeah, you need to listen to it.
Well said, Maria.
What do you mean, well said? Someone can't remember. What's well said about that? That
doesn't prove anything. Abstain from the argument. It's clever. I like that.
I don't like sitting on the fence. But no, he had the best game. I mean, it's not an issue. You can all agree that he had one of the best games.
He was incredible. He was man of the match. I thought it was man of the match, personally. They gave it to Robbo on the side, but I thought Milner was. He played two positions and smashed them both. Like, he was incredible.
And so, he was also technically the captain on the pitch with Henderson missing as well. I know Ronaldo on paper was meant to be the senior player in the middle doing that job, but it was definitely Milner calling all the shots.
Milner, honestly, that was one of the best performances I've seen from him in years, actually. I would say honestly in years. I'm not even joking. Not by his fault. I mean, it's because he doesn't play that much, to his own admission. You know, last year, especially when we had we had less injuries, so to speak, especially in the midfield, he always saw the occasional filling in for Robbo at left back every now and again, you know. But he played a bit more in pre-season and he's played a bit more this season already. And I think having played more games, it's obviously helping his level as well. And the performance was just outstanding on every level, from a leadership perspective and technically. So quite a few of those passes he put through at the start of the game, with left and right foot, where he put Mane through a couple of times, and you just thought to yourself, you know, we're going to put one of these away eventually, and eventually we did. But I thought it was incredible. But guys, in a bid to move on, we'll come on to the apologies in a second. A bit later on. But let's talk about, you know, again, on another positive, the fact that, you know, 64 games unbeaten at Anfield, a new record. Maria, what do you think about that? How does that make you feel? Fortress Anfield, it's back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yesterday was the game to show that, actually, to kind of go, yes, unbeaten at home, and, you know, they're on top, and they're just unbeatable. Yesterday, I actually think, and I know we've kind of moved on from the game, but it was their best performance of the season. I really believe it was the best performance of the season, because they had a lot to prove yesterday without key players. And it was a fantastic thing to be able to celebrate on that game with, you know, other members of the squad in there, not the usual suspect. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And I think it will make everyone coming to Anfield now be like, okay, where, you know, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? And I was watching this little, I think it's from that Tottenham. Is there a Tottenham? That Tottenham, what is it? Documentary.
Oh, the Amazon one. Amazon Prime one. Yeah.
And Mourinho, it was that Tottenham game, the game last year, one of the games last year. And he was like, you know, how are we going to beat this team? And that's how we want everyone now to be thinking. Because I think last week, everyone was a bit like, oh, you know, no point. They've gone, finished. And this week they're like, nah, we ain't finished.
I mean, I think that's the first time I've seen a Liverpool team with that many key players out play to that level. Like, it was almost like nothing had changed. It was incredible.
In a way, I think what was quite interesting was everyone keeps going on, you know, Virgil's out, this person's out, that person's out. In a way, it's almost been a blessing for them, because I think, and this might be quite a controversial thing to say, I think Virgil started, you know, had gone a little bit haywire. He wasn't playing as well as he had been. And I think this might give him a little bit of a kick as well, and just say, look, there's other people who can do what you do. Maybe not in the way that you do it, but when I felt like Virgil lost his way a little bit before he got injured. And it was almost like it needed to happen for him to take that break, take some time out and see what can happen without him. And the team, I thought the team performed better yesterday than they did with Virgil playing whenever it was that he was last playing. I think they are the winners this year. They're going to win. They're there all the way. And 64 games unbeaten.
Outstanding. And I have to agree with you. I actually think that, don't get me wrong, I love Virgil and I wish he was still here.
Player, you know what I mean? I think he lost his way after. Do you know what?
Yeah,
after he lost the Ballon d'Or, I feel like he got a little bit gassed by it. And he was, I don't know, there was something about Virgil that wasn't the same as before.
He made mistakes, which that used to be his problem at Southampton, actually. That's what they said before we signed him. He said his only problem is sometimes he gets too complacent. And when he came to Liverpool, he had a point to prove, and he was just a machine. You could see every game he was on it. And once we started winning, and I think the kind of like everyone knew he was there and the level he was at, he kind of level dipped a bit. It might not have been a conscious thing, but it did. I just think when he comes back, he's going to be, you know, wanting to make a point. And also, another point is, I think in overall, our squad's going to be better because of these injuries. I mean, we're going to have a lot more players that will have to step up and play to the level with no excuses.
Absolutely.
With no excuses.
That's exactly what it is. It's showing the others that no one is irreplaceable, basically.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to play their part. Doesn't matter if you're the superstar or you're the model or you're in this advert or that advert. You, when you're on that pitch, you need
to be... taking shots at?
No, it's Virgil. It's Virgil still.
Yeah, I was thinking...
It's all Virgil.
Maria taking shots at there.
No. But only one who isn't replaceable is Alisson. The only one who's not replaceable is Alisson.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? That's the only one.
No. You could get a decent number two. We just don't have one.
We'd have to buy one. Yeah, we'd have to buy one.
You're always having a go at him. All the time.
That's right.
They should bring in Schmeichel.
Casper.
Schmeichel. Man U, I know. He's not going to come, but
yeah, he's a good keeper. But it hurts me that yeah, I don't like that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But
I'd wait again before we get over excited and carried away with the whole these injuries are a good thing and it's going to help us. Let's just see how we react to one big defeat and then see if people are still optimistic.
I reckon there's
probably one before Christmas that's going to happen, and that's not a bad thing.
This is the season
where you have to react to defeats, and we've done it. We lost badly to Villa, and we reacted in a really positive way, which is great. I'm just saying, can this team and squad, with all the injuries, repeat that success if they get?
Apparently, when Thiago decides that he wants to start playing for us, then we got him. Then Hendo's due to be back next
week. Well said. This is good, Dre.
Hendo's back next weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also, yeah, go on. We got Ox as well. Ox isn't far off. Salah's back.
We're not relying on him.
Why? Why you got to do this? Why?
Cass, look, it's a squad. Cass, it's a squad, right?
He's going to say you're mate in a minute, and then I'm going to lose it.
No, Cass, all I'm saying is that we're going to have, hopefully, we'll come on to the Atalanta game in a minute, but hopefully, if all goes according to plan, we've got a couple of dead rubber Champions League games where we're going to need a squad to play. So even if you don't rate him to play in the big games, he can still play those games. So all I'm saying is bodies are bodies and we need them for the games we're having. You know, because at the end of the day, Champions League, we can't play kids in the Champions League like we disrespected the FA Cup last year. You know,
we play kids in the FA Cup this year.
Oh, yeah, FA Cup, yes, but I'm saying Champions League, we can't do that. So we need first teamers available in order to play those games. And that's why I'm saying guys like Ox coming back, whatever you're going to say about him, even guys like Shaq.
No, I'm just saying we can't rely on him. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying we can't rely
on
him.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, but even if it's look, the good thing about it now, maybe not good for Ox per se, but he isn't going to have to play as many games as he played last year because we've got so many bodies in the middle, of the park. So
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about midfield. I'm just saying this defence, let's see how they react to a big game and a proper game.
I'm more worried about the defence. I want us to get through you know what, to be honest with you, like, the only game that I've seen that are tricky games for us is, and tell me if I'm wrong, guys, is Wolves and obviously Tottenham. Now, I think that we've got a nice run of games that we can actually... I'm not saying we're going to smack everyone, but like I don't care if it's 1-0 all the way. But if we can get out of this this Christmas period, obviously with the injuries we've got, getting some players back, and then having a full assortment of players, you know, as much as possible towards the end run. I mean, there's a real rumour that I think I'll put Suki on blast that Virgil's going to come back for March.
No chance. Apparently.
I've heard rumors.
No, but
Cass, right?
No, Suki started this rumor.
He's had the same surgeon that Memphis had, and Memphis was back in 3 months from the same surgeon.
Memphis is younger. There's no chance Virgil's coming back.
All I'm saying is that it's possible. Memphis was back in 3 months, and Zlatan as well.
What I would say is this, if we could get a decent centre back. Someone that's not just there as a prospect. Someone who's let's say in theory we was to be able to strike a deal with the guys at Red Bull Leipzig and for the defender. I forgot his name now, but he's good enough to be able to
come. Mancano.
Yeah, he's good enough to be able to come in and actually, you know, we wouldn't miss a beat. That's the only thing that we're missing because of the midfielders are coming back. You know, the leaders are coming back, and say what you want about Ox. In the end of the day, Ox is a verbal leader. You need captains. We have several captains.
Ox is not a captain.
He's an influential person.
He's a joker in the pack. He's not a captain.
Yeah, but you need that too. And also, he's the only player that punches through. Like, he's one of the only players that has that power to take us from the halfway line to the edge of their box in seconds.
Ellie, I agree with that, but he's not a leader. He's not a captain.
Okay.
He's definitely a leader.
Dre, come on. He's not a leader in that sense.
He's not a leader.
I'm going to stand up for him.
He does some good TikToks, but he is not a leader.
No, I think he's a person who's a leader on the field by example. Sorry, I'm sorry. You little screaming when he banged in two goals.
No, I love it.
That doesn't make him a leader. That doesn't make him a captain.
That means that he's saying, look, all right, lads, don't worry about it. I'll do it myself.
But that does not make him a leader or a captain.
It makes him a good player. And he's a good player.
Very good player.
Okay, so basically what we're trying to say is we've got a lot of players coming back, so there's a lot of positives. But let's move on to the Champions League game on Wednesday, the home leg against Atalanta, who we did a very, very good job of dealing with at their ground, which seems a long time ago. Well, it was a long time ago now, wasn't it? It's pretty much 3 weeks. But Maria, how do you see the squad going for this one, assuming we get a couple back? I mean, there's rumours that Hendo could be back. Thiago, we don't know. Obviously, Trent's not going to be there. Ox will be a bit too soon. We don't know about Shaq, but what do you think Klopp's going to do?
When's Salah back?
He's back already.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he's back, yeah.
So I'm thinking Mane, Jota, Salah. Who played last? Yeah. I don't think Firmino should start.
Okay.
Outrageous.
No. If Salah's back, we Jota is the one in there, I think. Firmino can be on standby if necessary. You're laughing.
The disloyalty in this group is unbelievable. What have you done for me lately?
I'm struggling.
That's what we should name this podcast. What have you done for me lately?
I have to pick my team, and I just feel that this is the right way to go right now. I mean, I need a break. Maybe he needs to just have a little break.
He needs to continue. The
what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, go on. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway. Did we say Thiago's back, or we don't know?
I don't think so, though. I don't think he'll be back for this game. No,
Klopp said he might be back for the weekend, but he won't be back for...
Depends how he feels.
Yeah. Hendo could be, though. Hendo could be.
Okay, let's assume Hendo, then. I don't think Hendo is back, you know. I read it anyway. So. Whatever. Let's assume he is. Hendo, Wijnaldum... Stick Milner in mid, and then Robbo, Fabinho, Matip.
just name any player.
Yeah. it's struggling. Williams, did he say?
Yeah, maybe.
Nice, good. No, good. I'm glad you said that.
What are you putting that face for?
Williams. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad you said that.
I think he needs to be played a bit.
He needs to play. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And if we can add Milner in, yeah. No, I'll go with what I said.
And that obviously Ali in goal. Okay. And what about you, Cass? What are you saying, Cass?
I would swap out Matip and put in Nat Phillips.
He can't play.
Then it has to be Matip and Fabinho then in the middle. But I would put in Tsimikas instead of Robertson. He needs to play. I'd stick with Milner on the other side, and then in the middle, I would go with Genie. It'll probably be Jones again, to be honest with you. And who else have we got? We haven't even got enough bodies now.
Maybe Hendo.
Yeah, but it's too early for Hendo. I wouldn't risk him in this.
Yeah,
Hendo's going to play easy.
I think we'll play Firmino, but we'll play four. Two in the field.
I don't think we should play Firmino, but as in. I think he needs to be dropped, but as a body in the middle, and he did. I'll give him this. He did do all right coming back deeper yesterday. So if he's playing in that deeper role, then yes. But then I'm not 100% he's going to put Salah straight back in the team either. So he might start with someone random like Origi or Minamino.
I think that he's going to he'll rest Mane. I think he'll either rest Mane or Jota. I don't think he's going to play both of them two. You've got to save one of them for the weekend. I think Salah needs to play to get rhythm. He's not going to leave him for a whole week to not play. So you might take him off early, but you definitely play. Because the thing is that if we get... am I right? If we win this game, then we're through?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he's going to win if we get a draw.
No, well, no. Ajax have to not win for us to get a draw and go through, basically.
So I think that's for us to go through as table toppers, but I think we can still go through.
We can't go through directly unless Ajax have to draw for us to go through directly, definitely from Wednesday. otherwise, we can win. We obviously have to win. But if Ajax draw against Mitterland, we can draw against Atalanta. and still go through top. Still could go through definitely. Sorry, but I mean, either way, I think Klopp. The mentality of Liverpool is that we go for the win, don't we? We don't go for the draw. So, like, I think I personally think that Klopp's just going to go for this and just yeah. Sorry, Dre, finish your team. Sorry, you were saying the front three.
No. I think pretty much like we're in a situation where we kind of I definitely agree with Robertson should be rested because there's no, that makes no sense to be able to play him. Maybe he might save Milner for the weekend. So he might play. I could see him. I mean, to be honest with you, like I think if we draw, then you say if we draw, then we go through.
Not definitely. Yeah, not definitely. If Ajax draw and we draw, then we're through. But if we win, we're 100% through, regardless.
We're home.
So
I think it will. The thing is that I can't see Klopp making that much noise about fixtures because you've got an early fixture on Saturday and then you're playing the strongest team. But then obviously from another point of view, then if we win, then we're through and then you can kind of relax against, you know.
Exactly.
Switzerland. So I it's kind of difficult to call these teams now. It's not as fit as plays. Because if you look at that bench, that wasn't like inspiring. So therefore, I think it might be same again. It might be.
Yeah. I mean,
Salah on the bench.
I think Salah will start because he trained today. And if he's trained today, like Fabinho had one session and then played, you know, just to prove his fit. And Salah had COVID. It wasn't like he was a muscular injury or anything like that. And he seemed like he was asymptomatic. So he wouldn't have lost a great deal of fitness. I think Salah will play to get his fitness back to full. So he'll play part of the front three. I think probably of the three to miss, I still think he'll probably play Mane, Jota, Salah and Firmino because of the situation midfield as it stands. And also because I think he'll just want to he'd rather get us ahead a few goals and take them off and then,
exactly,
you know, rather than the other way around. Because we've got five subs in this game, so he can always take them pretty much all off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he'll go for that. And then I think he'll have Curtis Jones and Genie in midfield. And then the back four, I think Tsimikas will play as well. Sorry, Maria, I said it wrong again. And then Matip.
I own the guy.
Yeah, right? Sorry. Matip and Fabinho centre back and right back, I think, will be Milner and then Alisson in goal. That's what I think. But okay, predictions wise, you can go first, Maria, this time because you gave the first team. So,
I think a solid 4-0.
Solid 4-0, going for it. Nice, I like that. I like that confidence. Cass, do you agree? Are you confident?
It'll be a win, but it won't be 4-0. I think it'll be more like 2-0.
Okay. And what are you saying, Dre? What are you thinking?
I'll be conservative. I think, yeah, I think they score because that guy came quite close and I think he's quite determined. So they're going to throw everything at us. So, I'd say 2, I'd say 2-1. I'll say 3-1, actually. 3-1, I'd say.
Yeah, I'll go for 3-1 as well. I agree with Dre on the fact that we humiliated them in their own patch. They're not going to like that. And they're going to go gung-ho, which means that they'll be open at the back. But our defence, especially if Tsimikas is playing instead of Robbo, is not going to be as tight as it normally is. And they are good going forwards, no denying that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did get one. Although, again, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a clean sheet again and 1-3-0. So, yeah, but either way, Liverpool win through to the next stage of Champions League. Job done. We're at home, so we don't have to go anywhere. Don't have to travel. Hopefully, welcome a couple more players back. Maria, did you say Thiago said he's going to be back for the weekend? I reckon.
I'm not a bit confused with Thiago because he seems to be back every weekend and then he doesn't play. So
yeah, it's true. That's very true.
I thought he was back for. Is it tomorrow? Did we say that?
Wednesday.
He'll be back for an easy game, Brighton. I think he's going to ease him back in. He's not going to
this week anyway.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be back for tomorrow. I think he'll be back for an easy game. Him and Hendo will be back for
Brighton.
For Brighton, yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think it's an easy game.
Away to Brighton after we've played 3 games in that short period.
Installing in our midfield, so you keep Genie because he seems to run on solar power. I think obviously with the defense that we've got, and you install Hendo and you install Thiago, I highly doubt that they could. I think if we're talking about big numbers, scoring wise, then that's going to be big numbers. I think that would be like a solid 4-0.
I don't think after a European game going down to the South Coast, they're going to be up for that as much as you think. That
Lallana's going to be hot as well. Lallana's going to be running around like a madman.
They'll get injured in the warm up.
Although I think Lamptey got sent off in their last game. Yes. So he's out.
He's the only danger man. He's the only source. That's it.
That was the best thing. I love the guy. You never like to hear someone get... At least he's not injured. He's just sent off, so that's one thing. But I was glad we didn't have to face him. Because remember when Nekan Williams last time got absolutely torn apart by him?
That's what I'm saying. If you look at the same exact team again, right, take out Jones, and you install Hendo at the very least. You know, you've got Thiago, obviously, for a space. How can they compete with that? I'm more bullish about those types of games moving forward because I don't really see what they've got, you know.
To concentrate. The thing is, though, and this is what, I go back to old Liverpool. I know we're not that team anymore, but it's the concentration element. It's not getting lax. And one thing that the top players have that the other players who probably aren't quite at that level don't have is that concentration. And you saw it against Leicester in small ways with the younger players when Curtis was good, then started doing foolishness towards the end when we're 3-0 up. Neco again, you know, does something good and then does something foolish again because carried away.
But do you think with Neco that it's the fact that, right, he came in and he's basically changed his game. So what he used to do is go to the byline and cross in. Now what he's trying to do is trying to do too much. And he's complicating his role where really he just needs to be pulling right, staying on the touchline, old school winger, Stuart Ripley, and just literally just going down the line and that literally just crossing in and covering yourself at the back. I think he's trying to do too much to be able to get that. Because remember, everyone
loves the Croyton. He loves the Croyton.
Not too long ago, and this is what I'm saying about the fickleness of our fans, is especially one on our podcast.
I never rated him that much. You guys were the ones.
That much. I still rate him.
It's not that I don't rate him. I'm just saying I was never one that went overboard with the praise on him. I think there was a very real risk that he got too big for his boots, and that's what's happened, yeah. And the same is true of Curtis Jones as well.
I have to agree with him on Curtis Jones. What worries me is the over top.
19, though. I mean, he stepped into a midfield, one of the best in Europe at the moment, you know, definitely in the Premier League, and held his own. I mean, the biggest compliment I could have, I forgot he was playing for half the game in some ways because he was just that solid. You know, he just didn't do anything wrong.
I get what you mean.
What I'm saying is that you can't take light those things towards the end of the game light because if they'd have scored...
Then that brings heat on us.
And then the old Liverpool is back of kamikaze. Oh, it was up 2-0, like Seville, up 2-3-0, and then you end up like coming back with a draw. Can't happen. So therefore, like for him, the best thing that he can possibly do, I mean, look, he's better than I ever was or ever would have been at football, but with pure talent. But what I'm saying is that if you fly under the radar and people don't notice anything different to the midfield, then you've done a great job because our midfield is one of the best in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I thought was the best compliment I could have paid him in that Leicester game. Apart from, obviously, at the end, yes, where he did that silly pass and Croyton. Right, so, okay, Dangerman. We talked about Lamptey not being there. We've talked about Lallana, obviously. And they've also got that Bissouma in midfield. He's reasonable. Mope up front, he's a bit of a danger. I tell you who they have got, who we like, and we've apparently had an eye on for a while, is that Ben White in centre-back. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but they play him in midfield.
Is they moved him up to midfield now? I thought he was playing in the back three.
He's been moved around quite a bit. We are hot on him, but yeah, he's not starting in his favourite position.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, he's a good talent anyway, one to keep an eye on for the future. And I agree with Cass. I think it's a 12, guys, remember, it's a 12:30 kickoff. You know, and it's so far south, it might as well be abroad. Do you know what I mean?
I literally have zero worries about this team after the other day. The end of the day is that they do the same thing. Leicester are a far better team than Brighton. Far. You know, far more accomplished team than Brighton. They don't have anything to really threaten us too much.
And they're soft. And Leicester are soft. And Brighton aren't as soft as Leicester.
Yeah, but I just think that I think that we've... You know, I've seen Chelsea tear them apart. You know, even when Chelsea weren't really playing that well, they still got a victory from them. They should have scored more, to be honest with you. But obviously, that's when Werner wasn't what he is now. I just don't see anything with again. This is the caveat is obviously if we have Hendo, we have Thiago to be able to step in. I don't really see what anyone else.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so are
get
we
on
gonna...
this confidence. Get on this confidence ship.
I'm confident, but when you get confident, we get injuries. So that's why I'm trying to balance it out a little bit. So that's why I'm a bit nervous. Like I agree inside, I'm shouting, I'm jumping down inside, but I can't say it because every time you get excited,
we're going to thrash everyone. But that'd be stupid to say. But what I think is if we come away. Whenever all the rest of the games get a draw against Tottenham, at the very least, you know, we beat Wolves or draw against Wolves, and we're still in the same place where we are in January. I know I've said it 3-4 times in the same podcast. But I just don't. You got to look at the experience on how to win the league. If you look at our title runs before, you know, the other teams just automatically just won. You know, if you look at the one against with Brendan Rodgers. You know, we beat City in a big game, but then the day there was just like, oh, well, we've got another couple of games. We just got to win them and then we'll win the league. It's knowing the path to be able to win the league. That's why I say we're favourites for this year and the next season.
Yeah, so, okay. So, are we going to be... Okay, let's say predictions. We won't do lineups because I think the way our squad is at the moment, we don't know who's going to be back. It's almost impossible. It's impossible to say, really. But in terms of score, I mean, Maria, what would you think? What would you be happy with or what do you expect to happen against Brighton?
I think it's going to be 2-1.
2-1. Ooh, close game. Yeah. Close game, yeah. Okay, how about you, Cass? What are you thinking?
I'll go with 1-0.
1-0, wow. Okay, really cagey. Yeah, well, I'll take it, though. It's a win. To Liverpool, right?
I think they're going to start really, really slow. And then, I think maybe Jota will nick one later on or Salah.
1-0. Okay, as long as it's a win for Liverpool, I'm happy with that. What about you, Dre? What are you thinking?
3-0.
3-0. Yes, Dre. Go on. You say it.
I think 3-0. They cannot handle Salah, Mane and Jota. Like, yes. And come on. No, this is the point. We've got our fear the fear's back.
Fear factor back. But I will say one player I forgot to mention for Brighton who's because you talk about Kate's been injury prone, this guy's is on the level. Danny Welbeck, he's actually played the last two games, he scored the last game, and him and Morpé are playing really well played the last game really well in a tandem because they played two up front, which is again it's a bit harder for our defence. He's another guy to watch out for as he has got a bit of experience and on his day quality as well and pace. But I'm going to go Dre on this again. I don't think it will be a comfortable 3-0 win, but it will be a 3-0 win. And I think it'll go kind of the way of Leicester, but a bit more hard work, actually, physically. Because I think they'll snap into us a lot more than Leicester did. I think there'll be a lot more energy. But I think, like Dre said, if we get that quality back, even if it's Hendo or Thiago, or even if it's not both, I just can't see how they can live with that quality. Provided we get those players back. So, yeah, I'm confident in that. So, okay, so it's 3-0. So, by then, I think next week we have... Is it Champions League again? The week after that? Is it another Champions League game?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the Tuesday.
I think it's something like we've got 3 games a week until mid-December.
Yeah, so we've got Tuesday the 1st. We've got Ajax at home at least. That's nice. And then we have Saturday, 5th December. We got Wolves at home again. So, that's good. Tuesday, Saturday. So, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, and then Saturday, 3 o'clock. So, that's a nice little break as far as breaks go. And then we got Midtjylland away. That's Denmark, 9th December. And then we got Fulham away. So, okay. So, look, basically, we get through this week, Atalanta qualify. I think we're in a position where we could essentially manage the games as best we can, manage the squad, get as many of those injured players back as possible and look for a very, very solid run in to the end of the year. So, yeah, I must admit, I'm with Dre on this. I'm very positive. I don't think we're going to smash everyone, but I think we've got more than enough in our locker and our squad to handle it.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome. Yeah, it's good to be here, man. It's good to be here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I think that's it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for your time. Thank you, Dre.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And thank you, Maria.
Thanks for having me.
And Cass. Anyway, so yeah, so time for the thank you, Cass, man. As always, for your honest, your frank, your brutally frank.
That was the best one he did in how the long, podcast how, that he's ever done. That long going.
The ongoing one.
How long is Kate out for?
We don't know yet until the scan comes in.
So. Out for, yeah. You ain't going to see him until, you're not going to see him until January.
Why do you want to?
We're done. No, until we sell him. Yeah, that's
but at the end of the day is that as long as he's fit for when we sell him next summer, then that's fine.
I think he'll go in Jan. I think we get rid of him in Jan.
No, I think that he'll come back. He'll be very strong, prove his worth, and then there's a decision to make.
Next week, I want to talk about who we're signing in, and I want to talk about how we're getting Haaland in, who scored 4 goals again. We have to get him. He is the key signing. As well as a defender and a midfielder. We need a key signing in each of those positions.
We need a defender. That's what we need. Right. We ain't going to worry about attack.
They're aging out. They're all in their like late 20s, 30s, all our top players. We need those top quality replacements.
All right. So we're going to have so we'll make it like a mini January transfer special preview edition next week. And that's going to be hosted by, is it Dre, is it? Or is it Cass?
No, it's Cass.
It'll be hosted by Cass.
I'll be firing them in. I'll be like, Kaya out. Kaya out. In comes, who should we get for Kaya? Anyone's better than Kaya.
If you don't tune in for next week's podcast, I can understand why. But anyway, I'm joking. Now, Cass, I'm looking forward to it. Guys, thanks again for your time. And all of you, thanks for listening. And we look forward to touching base with you again next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Take care.